Welcome to Expect the Unexpected podcast from Episcopal Campus Ministry at Virginia Commonwealth University. These conversations are unscripted dialogues between members of the VCU community about the Gospels for the four Sundays of Advent. Each Gospel has been paired with a children's book about ways that expectations are not always met in the manner which we imagine. Enjoy the episode and have a blessed Advent.
Hi, I'm Savannah.
Hi, I'm Julia.
We're both VCU students putting together a podcast for you to enjoy during Advent.
All right. And first of all, we will be starting off with a gospel reading. This gospel is from the book of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all of Judea were going out to him, and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when they saw many Pharisees and Sadducees come from baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come, bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff will burn with unquenchable fire." That is our reading from the Gospel, the book of Matthew. So now, Savannah will read us our story for today, which is titled "When God Was a Little Girl," written by David Weiss, illustrated by John Hernandez Linderman.
Okay. So this is a story about God, creation, and what it means to be human. Okay. "Tell me a story, Daddy. It's a long car ride from Madison, Wisconsin to Decorah, Iowa, and a good story always helps the miles fly by. What kind of story?" Tell me a story about when God was a little girl," she announced, her eyes twinkling with this divine little twist. "Okay, when God was a little girl," she liked art projects. "Art projects," Susanna echoed in delight from the back seat. "Yes, art projects. She liked to do art projects just like you do. Which is a good thing, because that's how the world came to be." "Really? Really. Let me tell you about it. In the beginning, there was only one God. Only God. Nothing else was made yet." "Daddy, wait. Was God lonely?" "Lonely? Let's see. When you're lonely, do you smile and giggle?" "No." "Well, then I don't think God was lonely, because already, before anything was made, she was giggling." "Giggling?" "Yep, giggling. Because she was imagining all the things she was going to make, and her imagination tickled her heart the way a feather tickles your ear. Then, her giggling quieted to a soft hum as she got ready to create. I bet she's going to sing." "Exactly. She started out humming so the tune would be just right when she sang the first word. And as she sang each word, it was like she dipped her brush in paint. Just like me. And whatever she sang, she could see just as clearly as when you paint a picture. And the first word she sang softly but very clear was love. And the love looked like, darkness. It was all dark. Ah, midnight blue, the color of the sky in the middle of the night. The deepest blue you can imagine, even darker than black. Why do you think love was that color? Because, Daddy, that was just like love. It's there, even when you can't see it. Love always finds a way to you in the darkness, and when it holds you close, you know you're home. That's beautiful, darling. So before anything else was made, there was love. Love, like deep, dark blue has always been there. Yep, love was what God felt when she was giggling, and love was the first color God painted when she sang. Next, God sang so loud she almost startled herself. Light and bright yellow and white went splashing everywhere, like sunshine rushing through the windshield so bright you could hardly see. So bright that even God had to squint. So she took a bunch of the light, rolled it into a ball, and threw it in the sky, singing sun. Then she took another bunch of light and made another ball. When she was tossed this one into the sky, she sang its name like the sound of a lullaby, moon. And then Susanna, God got out the glue, yes, and the glitter, because after the two big balls of light, mostly all that was left were little bits of shining light here and there. So God squeezed out some glue onto her paper, except her paper was a sky, and she tossed the glitter bits up until they stuck in twinkling patterns all across the sky. Stars! Yes, and that's how she sounded when she sang their name to them. God sang lots of words for a long time. She sang earth and cold grays and warm browns and hot reds, painted rocks and dirt and sand. Oh, and God sang water, and she laughed out loud because all kinds of water were splashing around, making big and small puddles everywhere. God sang green, and the earth and water and sun and love, they all danced together while God sang. And the green was like the sunflower seeds and the bean seeds you helped me plant in the garden. God grew grass and bushes and trees and flowers of every color. God grew a great big garden, just like we do. It was a very pretty picture God painted, don't you think? Yes. Do you know what she did next? Well, I don't know. Yes, you do. What do you do when you make pictures? I give them to you. And that's just what God did. God made someone to share the picture with, someone who could giggle next to God at how pretty everything was. Who? Us. God took some earth and made us. She found the softest, nicest smelling earth. The earth that comes from plants when they turn back into dirt. She called this earth humus. And she rolled the humus between her fingers, just like when you play with clay. Then she smiled and giggled, and she made humus beings. Bunches of them. And each one was a little different. Some were the color of deep, dark dirt. Some looked like the pale sand on the beach. Some were boys and some were girls. Some were tall, some were shorter. Some were thin, some were round. And God thought all them just looked just right. And she sang to them that they were human beings. Then God set them in a big circle and asked, "What do you think?" They all looked at the garden and then at each other, and then they said, "This is good." And you know what God said? What? God said, "Thanks, but I'm not done singing yet." And while the human beings watched wide-eyed, God sang, "I know," and her song painted every type of animal. Then she said with a big grin, "You can't have a party without lots of company." And she invited the human beings to help her, saying, "Now, it's your turn to sing. Your special job in the garden is to be echoes of me. I made the animals with my singing. You get to name them with your singing." And then God explained, "This is how you become friends with everything in the garden. See? It's a great big song. When you name each animal and the plants too, you can hear how all the notes fit together." So, all afternoon, God listened while the human beings sang names to every plant and animal in the garden and learned the great big song that mixed all the notes together. It sounded like the rainbow. The rainbow? The rainbow, Daddy. Because as they named each animal, the words fit together just like the colors in the rainbow. They made the whole picture look most delightful. And as the sun set, God yawned, like little girls do when they're tuckered out by the big art projects. And she said, "Let's all take a nap. We'll have the party tomorrow." And so they did. Triumphantly, she said, and that's what happened when God was a little girl. "Daddy, did it really happen like that?" Susanna said as she yawned. Sure it did. It always happened when... It happened just like the stories say, even when the stories tell it a little different each time. Daddy, came the sleepy voice from behind me. I love you. I love you too, Susanna. I love you too. We pulled up to the house, and as I carried the sleeping bundle of trust inside, I whispered in her ear, "And Susanna, when God was a little girl..." That's what she said to each of us before the party began. She said, "I love you." God made us to be little echoes of all the giggles that she had already felt before there was anything at all. And when we live as the echo of God, we say, "I love you," right back to her. And everything else, just like I did to you. And from somewhere in her dreams, a little voice smiled up to me. "I know, Daddy. That's why I asked you to tell me a story." The end.
All right. Thank you, Savannah. I honestly say I have never heard that story, but I think it's definitely one that I will put in my book collection.
Yes. It's a nice twist.
Yeah. And it opens up, like, a different perspective than maybe what we always hear, like, from scripture or from sermons or anything.
Yeah.
So I'm going to look into getting that.
It made it a little bit more, especially for children, like more relatable, more connectable.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not a far distant being doing magical, you know, creation. It's a little girl doing an art project, which is much more able to visualize.
Yes. So with that, you did a perfect introduction. We're going to go right into our questions we have for you all. Our first question is going to be similar to the previous podcast. First, we're going to start with, tell me something that stands out for you in this gospel or this story in your own words.
Well, I think one of the most, the thing that stood out the most to me was that the first word God sang was love. It was a deep, dark blue because love is everywhere, even if you can't see it. And I thought that was really powerful.
I agree. We don't always see the love that God has for us sometimes, especially if dark times or troublesome times are what is on our mind the most. But sometimes when we just take a deep breath and we think about it more cautiously and like think in deeper detail, then we can actually see that He does love us.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree with you 100% on that.
Another thing that really stood out to me about this book was when God was creating her little art project, or her big art project, she wanted someone to share it with. And that, the story is the same, even if we tell the stories differently, which I think was really also powerful because, you know, we take the same things from it each time, you know, that God loves us and that He created us with a purpose. I thought that was really impactful.
I agree. But definitely, like you and I agreed already, I would say this book is very relatable to children. It doesn't have to just be for the little artist. I mean, it can be with anything that they love and want to get their hands in or on or anything like that. So I'm really pleased with this book.
Me too.
Question number two. Where do you see holiness, God, or the divine right now in this gospel, the story, or in your own life?
So what I was thinking about for this question, when I was thinking about, you know, holiness in this book, we'd already talked about it this a little bit, but we hear that God created the world, but this book took a different perspective, that God is more... like, relatable. It's, they're more like us. God, you know, is creating art too, you know. He wanted, or she in this book, wanted someone to create this thing with. I feel like children can better feel connected and understand God a little bit better with this book.
Yeah, I agree. Because as we read in Genesis, the beginning of the Bible, I mean, he's saying, like, on the first day, God created light, and then the next day he says he created something else. So he's painting his own artwork.
Yeah.
And he's making it the way he wants it.
Right.
And sometimes you can understand that by reading the passage, but oftentimes you're just then envisioning what he was doing. Right. I think it is nice that we're able, there's something out there that the children can relate to more on their level,
yeah.
and they're actually thinking, like, oh, what do I do that maybe God does the same way?
Yeah.
So I agree. I think they are definitely able to make an easier connection.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I see it in everyday life and definitely in the gospel, too, along the same lines. The way it's written in Genesis is not the only way to paint a picture
mm-hmm.
that God wants you to portray or make yourself. You can do so much with what you have, and he gives you guidelines, and he gives mm-hmm. you guidance and strength for it, but you really have, like, a free, like, a plain canvas.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he would want you to make your own personal artwork
yeah.
more than something that he has done prior,
yeah.
and you're just copying.
Right.
So,
yeah.
I try and see that a lot with, like, when springtime comes or when we're getting ready for fall,
yeah.
and sometimes I'll try and switch it to my own vision of what
mm-hmm.
I think everything
yeah.
is. So.
Great perspective.
Yeah. And then our third question is, what do these stories tell you that you think children in particular need to hear?
Well, I feel like it is really important that God's first word was love, because God loves you. If you're doing great, you know, all the things that you need to be doing, or if you're kind of struggling a little bit, because God made us with love, and he will always love us and always care for us unconditionally.
Mm-hmm.
It's also important that even if, I was saying this a little bit earlier, even if we tell the story differently, it's still the same. God made us with a purpose, out of love, and put us on earth to love each other and enjoy life.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely with knowing that no matter what you're going through, just like your parents will always love you.
Yeah.
Even if you misbehave a day or
right.
if something's, if you're just upset at each other or it may not seem like they do
mm.
when you're arguing
yeah.
or trying to figure, or did something and it's just, you're more upset at each other.
Mm-hmm.
But deep down, parents and siblings love each other unconditionally.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we got from our father.
Right.
I mean, that's the way he taught us, and that's the way that people were raised before them, and they've just been able to pass it along.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's definitely something very important
yeah.
to teach children, especially at that age when they're trying to learn how to be polite, how to make
right.
friends, how
yeah.
to share and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely knowing that no matter what happens, unconditional love is always the top. It's
yeah.
always the best. It's always the thing you need to have.
Right.
So I agree with that 100% too. Okay. So... Well, that is the end of our podcast for Advent 2. We hope you all enjoyed this story and the gospel. As always in previous podcasts, the questions are conversations Savannah and I had and we talked about. But it's just a chance for you to hear our answers and our thoughts that we came up with when reading these questions. It's definitely something you could talk to your children about or your family. Or just reflect and maybe add your own opinions or your own thoughts or add on to what we've already said. So we hope this is inspirational support and something you can go to in the time of Advent while we're waiting.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Expect the Unexpected. To learn more about Episcopal Campus Ministry at VCU, find us on Instagram or Facebook. Or you can join us in person for worship at Grace and Holy Trinity Church in Richmond, Virginia on Monroe Park. We love you, but God loves you more. Hope to see you soon.